Hello again, everybody. It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live here from the Giants facility in North Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. Howard Cross will be joining us momentarily. We'll be here for an hour to take your phone calls, questions, and comments relating to the Giants as they get ready for Monday Night Football. They'll be visiting the Minnesota Vikings in their beautiful brand-new stadium. I don't know if you've seen it yet, folks, but, boy, that is one impressive place. And, of course, the Vikings right now are off to a sensational start. They look like they are going to be true Super Bowl contenders, minus Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson. Skies are overcast here in North Jersey. If you're not from the area and watching us on the World Wide Web, temperature is about 60 degrees. It is breezy out. The Giants are practicing in the field house as we speak in shells and helmets. Not a full-fledged practice today. It's shells and helmets only as they go through their paces. Again, getting ready for the Vikings. DRC with a groin. Eli Apple with a hamstring on the side with the trainers this morning. Rashad Jennings still working with a wrap on his left thumb. He is out on the practice field. Don't know how much he's going to do, but it does look like he's at least going to try to do something. In any event, 201-939-4513 is our phone number. 201-939-4513. Or if you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can go to hashtag Giants Chat. And then, of course, you can always hit me up at Giants WFAN or Howard Cross at Howard Cross 87. In any event, again, we'll be here now for the next hour to talk about the Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. Now, one thing we did yesterday, we brought in the gentleman, Jerry Barca, who was the author of The Big Blue Wrecking Crew, the book about the 1986 world champion New York Giants. And the only reason I bring this up again is because if you missed the show yesterday, it is available on the archive at Giants.com. And we had a tremendous amount of fun talking about the Super Bowl 21 champions, the personalities, and the different guys who were on that team. We talked about the championship, of course, and some of the steps that the Giants had to build towards to get to that Super Bowl championship team as they beat the Denver Broncos, as you remember, in Super Bowl 21. So if you get a chance, you know, go to your library, or go to your store, pick up the book. If not, you could still have some fun talking about the 1986 Giants by going to Giants.com's archive on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Jerry was with us for the full hour yesterday, and for the first 45 minutes, it was almost exclusively talking about the 1986 Giants Super Bowl champions. So have some fun with that, and I only bring that up one more time because how ironic is it? The Giants are playing the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota this weekend on Monday Night Football, and it was that game in Minnesota when Bobby Johnson caught the 4th-and-17 pass from Phil Sims, roasting Isaac Holt along the right sideline that set up the Raul Alegre game-winning field goal that really propelled the Giants through the second half of that season as they marched toward the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And you know, folks, I want to say one other thing. And I did not see if it was in Jerry's book or not because I haven't read through all the pages of it. It was great having him here yesterday. One thing that often goes overlooked about that season, Raul Alegre, who was so, so instrumental, not only kicking the field goal, of course, that beat the Vikings after the Bobby Johnson catch, but he had a catch against, a kick against the Denver Broncos also that wound up beating the Broncos. And if the Giants don't win as many games as they do, they don't get to clinch the home field advantage. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe that shutout against the Washington Redskins in the NFC Championship game with all the toilet paper and everything flowing around the stadium, maybe that doesn't happen. So I always like, look, Raul Alegre was a great guy. I always got along with him great. So as a personal note for me, I'm a big Raul Alegre fan. And I like to always make sure that I give him his props for what the Giants accomplished that season because it's often overlooked. But the kicker came through big time when the Giants really needed him, as Matt Barr did in the 1990 season when Barr was able to defeat the three-peat at Candlestick Park in that NFC Championship game. And Lawrence Tynes, of course, came through for the Giants in 2007 during that season too. So kickers have had a very big impact on the Giants getting the four trophies that they have outside this facility. Anyway, enough of reminiscing. It is time to talk about the Giants and the Vikings this weekend on Monday Night Football, 201-939-4513. Let's go to the first phone call, and this is Ken. You're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How
Hi.
You doing, bud?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Working hard.
That's good.
I wanted to talk about the officiating crew we're going to have on Monday night.
I didn't see who it's going to be yet. Have you seen it?
Yes, it's going to be Allen's crew.
Okay.
His name. Apparently, they love to throw flags. They were responsible, I think it was a Colts game last year, for like one of the most penalized games. With the sloppiness with the flags last week, this is a concern, especially considering that we might not have three of our best defensive backs in the backfield. I think
right.
there might be some penalty yardage, especially on defense this week, that could cost us a game, because the games have been close and those penalties are some hurters.
Well, let me say this to you. Every team in the NFL keeps stats on the officials just as they keep stats on their own players. And so when they find out who the crew is going to be on a particular game coming up on Sunday or Monday in this particular case, they know, oh, guess what? You know, Mr. X and his crew calls X number of penalties, and these are the kinds of penalties they call. And that stuff is shared like a scouting report, just as it would be on the opposing team. So the players are going to be told exactly what it is that this crew looks for.
I didn't realize that.
That's why I'm telling you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. Go
sure.
Blue.
Appreciate the time. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. We go to Malik from Georgia. You're on line three. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, listen. I want to say this, and I'm going to be brief. The Giants will win on Monday night, and I guarantee this, if they do two things. If
okay.
they feed Odell the ball, and if they start or leave Durquat, you'll see a big dynamic change in the Giants' offense.
Well, I'll say this for you. Odell Beckham has played well so far. Now, does he have a touchdown? No. But have Shepard and Cruz done their part to help the Giants win? Absolutely. And I think, you know, the fact that they're 2-1 and Cruz caught the winning touchdown against Dallas and the catch that also set up the winning field goal in week number 2 against the Saints, I think that proves to you that they don't need Odell Beckham to catch 3 touchdowns on a given Sunday to win. But I understand your feelings, and if Odell has a big game, it certainly would enhance the Giants' chances. I would not argue with that. And as far as Orleans Dark was concerned, I think Orleans Dark was a good back. I said it from the time they got him from the Dolphins off the practice squad. I like this guy, and I think he could do a lot of things for you. He can catch, he can block, he can run hard on short yardage. He's got some quicks. He's a very versatile, multi-skilled running back. And I do think that the Giants are in better shape than maybe some people do if he's forced to be the starting back this week.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You remember the rookie, the one that had he had the Victor Cruz like preseason, the big receiver.
You mean Corey Washington?
Right.
From two
why
years
we,
ago.
Why don't we add him into the mix, because that guy can play, man.
Corey Washington's already been on 3 different teams in terms of 3 different organizations in a couple of years. He did not have very good practice habits, and quite frankly, he needs all the intangibles to come together if he is going to find a spot on an NFL roster. He could not get those intangibles to come together, and that's why I think right now he's a street free agent. I don't even know if he's on a practice squad anywhere. I could check that for you, but I know he's not here.
Okay. But I know you're a big Blue fan. Are you confident on Monday night? Because usually when the Giants are rolled, when they are rolled underdog, they usually prevail.
Well, here's what I will say. This is going to be a very difficult game for them if you look at the matchups and you look at where the strengths of the Vikings are and where the strengths of the Giants are and vice versa with the weaknesses of both teams, and especially given the fact that they're going to the new building in Minnesota, and the Vikings and their fans are foaming at the mouth right now because they think, in spite of the injuries they've had, that they're a legit Super Bowl contender, and I'm inclined to agree with them right now. So I do think if the Vikings play their best ball and they're as sharp as every single angle of their game, it's going to be very difficult for the Giants to go in there and win. Can the Giants win? Yes, they can. I believe they're good enough that they could steal a win. But if the Vikings are hitting on all cylinders, it's going to be very hard to do so.
You know what one of my buddies told me a long time ago, and I didn't believe him until I had to see it to believe it. He told me, he said, Malik, don't ever go against Eli. He said, whenever you doubt him, he always come out on top. And I learned not to doubt him. He make bonehead decisions sometimes. He forced the ball sometimes. But when he's in the spotlight and it's clutch time, I don't know. It's like his brother jumps into his body and he takes over.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Have a great day and enjoy the game. Let's go to the next line. That would be number 4. And Rick in Tampa, Florida. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Paul, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I finally got a chance to get in this week. And a couple things to talk about real quick. And I was always told years ago, never bet with or against the Giants. So I don't know. You can take both those quotes and run with it any way you want. But, okay, first things first. By the way, Raul Allegri, love the name. I mean, that's one of the great kickers' names, you know? One of those names that just has enough brain to it, you know? Raul Allegri.
Raul Allegri. Love it.
Yeah. Okay, first things first is that all week last week, to hear you guys and a lot of the guys talk about the Giants, that this would be a great game for them to get a leg up on their division. And I'm tired of hearing that because the Giants have never won a game where they could get a leg up on anybody. They've always failed. In the last three couple of years with Tom Coughlin, they never could do it. It was told if they could win this game, they would do and the same thing happened this week. Just when you think, oh, they could do it, they let us down again. So that's the first point, and I didn't like hearing that because they never come through for us when they could get a leg up. And you know, I love Eli, but you know, you got these young quarterbacks in our division who haven't thrown an interception all year long, and all we wanted Eli to do on that last drive is to do what he always does. And that was a bad interception that dink and dunk that he should have not thrown and cost us the game besides everything else.
He knows that. Trust me, he knows that.
Well, I know he knows that, and he's great. I love him, but, I mean, he should know that, and that's not, you know, it's the same thing as last year. Now, I'm concerned about a couple things. I'm concerned about how our coach has – I don't know if he has a grip on the team as I would like. These penalties and the things that are going on and Odell's antics on the side are a reflection of the coaching
Rick,
staff.
Rick, are you aware that for the first 2 weeks they had 7 penalties combined called against them, which was the fewest in the NFL? So now they get one game with 11 penalties, and everybody wants to say that they're undisciplined and the coach has no control over the team. You're not the first person to say that to me. I find that comment laughable. How do you get through 2 games with only 7 penalties and be what you guys are accusing him of being? How does that happen?
Yeah, I guess, you know, you're right when you look at the stats in that sense, but I'm saying when it comes to a game where they have a chance to make a statement and this blows up. So I'll agree with you on that. I don't want to throw that out yet.
Yeah, it's not fair. It's just not a fair comment.
Okay, I would agree on that, Buck, since you brought that up that way. But the way it looked, and we'll see how it goes, because I'm excited about a chance to beat Minnesota, but I think it's going to be a tall order, like you said, and I think they can do it. Now, what is the status of our defensive backs? Well, when I hang up, you could tell us that. I mean, about any of them playing,
okay, Rick,
or what's the longevity of their injury? Because I think that's going to be important for them to be in it. And with Shane Vereen out, Eli obviously was thrown to him a lot. I'm excited for a chance for some of these guys to step up. But Odell Beckham, he's got... I don't know what's going on there. You're right, Shep. I love Shepard. I think he's making the best of his other receivers, and Odell doesn't have to score, but I think he does for us to take that next step to continue and get those touchdowns again and not drop the ball and a couple things like that. But I'm hoping for a big week, and I'm excited that when the Monday night, when they're not – and 3-0, you know, I look at it this way. We win last week. And I think I don't know if you made that comment. If we won against the Redskins and then we go in with the 3-0 to Minnesota, maybe flying a little higher than we think and we get beat, we're 3-1. And I always look at it that way. Now we're 2-1. We're going into the game. Let them think they're flying a little bit high. and we take the game and steal it from them. So I'm hoping we'll end up in 3-1 by the end of the week. So keep up the good work. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day, Rick.
Let's talk about those cornerbacks.
All right, here's the Giants' injury situation as it stands. Safety Nat Burhe right now has been added to the Giants' injury list. Not at practice today. Eli Apple is on the side. DRC was also earlier today on the side. Rashad Jennings looked like he was going to try to give it a go. Don't know exactly how that's going to stand. And Marshall Newhouse, obviously, at this point, doesn't look like he's going to go either. Bobby Hart did a pretty good job the other day, I might add, in game number 3 of the season. Now, Apple, it sounds like he's day-to-day. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, indefinitely, but he was telling us yesterday he's planning to go and wants to. Doesn't know if he's going to practice the rest of the week, but felt that because the game was Monday and he had an extra day, he thought that there was a chance. Rashad Jennings, again, a situation where he was telling us yesterday he was hoping to practice today. I suspect he's going to be limited, but we're going to have to find out about that. And, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult enough, as it is these days, trying to figure out when guys are hurt, when they're going to play and when they're not going to play. But I will tell you this. I do believe that the Giants are going to be very cautious, very studious, and very, very understanding of what's going on with these guys, because it does not pay for any one of these guys who are critical to the Giants lineup. And by the way, Darian Thompson's still in the boot. He's week to week. It doesn't pay for them to rush any of these guys back, because I think we would all agree that if any of these guys are brought back too soon and then they've got to miss an extended period of time, like a month or more, that would be much more devastating to the fortunes of this team than if they have to miss one or maybe even two games now. So I think you have to weigh that very carefully, because I don't think that the depth on this roster is necessarily strong enough that they can afford to lose key players for more than a month at a time. Just the way I see it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Eric from North Carolina, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
How you guys all doing? Hey, I have a question. I'm not very familiar with the two D-backs we have, like Michael Hunter and Drew Adams.
Andrew Adams is a safety who committed that special teams penalty last week. He was in training camp, as was Michael Hunter. Michael Hunter's a 6-foot corner. He's one of those tall, big, rangy corners who had a pretty good training camp. He was kind of on the bubble. And as you know, he's been practice squad, no practice squad. Now he's on the active roster. But he's a 6-footer with some length. That's what he brings to the table in terms of skill set. Adams is a hitter. He's more of a strong safety than he is a free safety. Had a very productive career at UConn and had a very good final 2 weeks of the preseason, which is what originally got him onto the practice squad when the Giants made the cut to 53.
Okay, and then I have one last question. What about Antro Roe? I mean, is there like another veteran that maybe you could bring him up, you know, to see for some leadership?
Antrell Roll, to my knowledge, is at home right now as a street free agent and has not gone on any visits recently. Whether or not he still wants to play, I don't even know the answer to that. I mean, look, he had a great career. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's been to some Pro Bowls. Maybe Antrell Roll has decided that that's enough. Remember, his season ended last year. He only played like half the games. He had a knee injury, and he was done. So I don't even know if he still wants to play.
Okay.
And certainly if you brought him in now, he would need time to get into shape anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate it. Larry, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Two things. First, I just have a comment and then a question about Adams. But my comment being actually looking for your help on this one. You know, I watch a lot of the shows online on my smartphone, on my iPad at home.
Good stuff.
And it's difficult when we're doing interviews when the guys are asking questions, with the exception of you, because you seem to speak up, and but we cannot hear the reporters' questions. I only hear the answers. Is there any way we can do something to help out? Can we not mic or pass around a microphone when reporters are asking questions so we can hear the questions?
Yeah, are you specifically talking about Coach McAdoo's press conferences?
No, McAdoo's, any of the interviews, whether it's post-game or any of the shows. You know, to be honest with you, like I said, I recognize your voice, and you somehow tend to, I don't know if you speak louder or what, but you're the only one. And it's kind of frustrating when you're listening to just answers, you can't hear the questions. So that's more just a comment slash request.
Trust me, the TV and radio engineers do not appreciate my loud voice, believe me.
Yeah, well,
you may be the only one. No, here's what I will tell you. They do have ambient room microphones and boom mics that they do use during these pressers. And they are supposed to be able to pick those questions up for you. But I will tell you, part of it could be lost in the transmission. Part of it could be maybe that the audio program or speaker you have on your phone or your computer isn't quite as powerful as well. I can't tell you specifically about certain guys who talk louder than others, because I know that there's no doubt some folks just don't project very well, and they're not going to get their question heard. That's probably going to happen sometimes.
Okay.
But I think it's a variety of reasons as to why that happens. Maybe the only way to solve it is to actually get a wireless and that you pass it around to each questioner. But I will tell you, that's not always technically available to us, given circumstances that we have, or given how many cameras or mics are out on another shoot or in a different area of the facility at the time that we're doing the pressers. I would love to be able to tell you there's an easy snap answer. I don't know that there is.
Okay, fair enough. It's just, you know, I'm always in tune and love to hear the questions, because sometimes you can understand the questions by the answer, but not always.
I understand,
Larry.
I
won't waste a lot of time. It's not a greatly important issue, but just something that I'm always thinking about.
I will pass it along, and I know that that's been something that's been discussed around here many times in the past, and I know they've tried to help the situation. It sometimes just can't get corrected as easily as you'd like it to.
Okay, good enough. And then just quickly, and then I just have one question, and I'll get off the air.
Okay.
Adams, I mean, I was watching the draft close. He was supposed to be like the second best tight end picked. I haven't seen much motion on him. I'm curious your thoughts on Adams. Do you think we're going to see him with any role other than special teams? Because he's a big body that I think I'm excited to see get in there and see what he can do.
Larry,
I'll take that off the air and get your opinion on Adams.
I will let you do that, because Howard Cross, my partner for today's show, has come in and joined us. Hello, Howard.
Sorry for being late.
Look, it's cool. We're going to fine you $500 for that.
Probably.
You can just drop it in the cup on your way out.
I will, absolutely.
Howard Cross at Howard Cross 87 joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. The gentleman was just referring to rookie Jarrell Adams, who was drafted this year by the Giants and is on the roster, but has had a very limited amount of reps so far through three games. Your thoughts, Howard, on if they should work him into the offense more, and what would you like to see him do?
I think that fans, you know, get excited about guys that are draft picks and everything. And like I kind of said in the previous weeks, if a guy is playing, and if you see guys out there playing, but you want another guy to step in, either you wish you're hoping for more production out of the next guy, or you're hoping for, you know, him to be great, or you're kind of like you're just tired of seeing the guy that's out there. So with Adams, I think Adams falls under the list of, he has to be something so special that, you know, you can sit down to Will Ties and the Larry Donnells. They're catching balls. They're actually even making some blocks in the game. So if they're doing all that, then his learning curve has to be super accelerated to give himself an opportunity to play. Because in years past, with all the coaches that I've ever dealt with, it's not always about your ability, but your intelligence and being able to play and being available to be there.
And I'm sure, and I think Howard would second this, if Coach McAdoo felt that Jarrell Adams could give them more production than those other guys, he'd be on the field.
Every coach on the planet will do that. Like, you can be great, but if somebody else can do it better, you will be sitting and watching that guy.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, always. Coach looks out for coach.
Brendan, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on line three.
On?
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Hi.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. I believe, man, this is the perfect game for the Giants to come together. you know what I mean, throughout everything that happened prior to this game, we need to come together and win this big road game, because this is about to be a tough stretch with us, with the Vikings and Green Bay coming up. Mm-hmm. I believe we need to either win both of them or split these games. So one game at a time. So it's the Vikings right now. I think the secondary, we kind of beat up right now. You said DT, he's in the boot still?
Darian Thompson was placed in a boot last week, and he is week to week. He has a sprain, but the specialist that he went to see the other day told him that surgery was not needed. They just have to rehab him and rest him, and that's good news because it means he should be back relatively soon.
All right, so this got to be, I believe this got to be a defensive line game, because the secondary is hurt right now, and the defensive line has to step up this week. We have to get some sacks now. We got to try to get some turnovers. We got to do anything we got to do to protect the secondary. So I believe the defensive line is going to have to play a big part of this win this weekend, because I think we could score enough points. We just got to have to stop Sam Bradford, and that's not going to be easy. So being the fact that the secondary is beat up, the communication is not as good as it was early in the season. So I think we ain't going to have to be able to do all our cute stuff how we be able to do with DT, because he was able to line everybody up right. So we're going to miss that for now. So I don't believe the secondary could take the checks and everything that they need to do with this new guy coming in. So the defensive line has to get home this week. It's a must that they hold it down until the secondary get back in place.
I hope DRC
could come back this week, and Eli. Well, we probably going Eli with the hamstring. He's going to be out this week. But DRC has to play a big part. But I will hope both of them could play.
Brandon, appreciate the phone call. Howard and I will talk as you get off the air. What I want to mention about this, Howard. Nat Burhey's done a good job, and now he's not at practice today. We've yet to hear if that's an injury or he was just excused. But, you know, Burhey's filled in admirably well, and if he goes in Minnesota, I don't think that necessarily creates a problem for the safeties. If he can't go, then Andrew Adams is the next safety.
I think probably the biggest issue is, and I know the fans are kind of focused on the Giants, is that Minnesota's right now offensively a one-dimensional team.
Yeah,
they can't run the ball. The important thing for this game is to put them, get them behind the chains early, and if you can get them behind the chains early, get them in second and long, third and long, making the quarterback have to hold the ball longer. That's where you're going to get some hits on Bradford, and if you get hits on Bradford, it kind of changes the way he plays. If you give them second and five or second and four or third and two or third and three. Then it was a quick hit and plays, and it puts more pressure on the secondary. I think keeping them, you know, realizing they don't run the ball well, putting them behind the chains early forces Sam Bradford into a tough position of holding onto the ball another count. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to sack him. You just have to hit him. You have to continuously make contact with him, and that becomes a problem.
When you look at the Vikings cut-ups, the film work on them, he is definitely throwing a lot more short and medium range stuff. He doesn't want to throw the ball very deep, and part of the reason is he's got to hold it longer too.
Yeah, and if I think the focus of this week, it's got to be to keep them behind the chains. The first and second down are got to be so special. I mean, it's like every week, but specifically this week, mm-hmm. you want long downs for those guys. So when he make him hold the ball a little bit longer, he'll take a hit. He might complete the pass, but he's going to take a hit. You make him hold it longer again, he'll be looking for the hit on the second one. It's just part of the game.
Howard, our Giants.com app, which streams the show live each and every weekday, has a poll question out there. Wants to know who will finish with more receiving yards, Beckham or Shepard. And to this point, Odell Beckham with 62% of the votes ahead of Sterling Shepard, who has been absolutely sensational so far.
I think the team as a whole last week kind of saw that, okay, Odell Beckham is the guy that you can go get yards with. I know you want to spread the ball around and you want to do things, but hey, when you weren't throwing it to him, he was wide open running down the field. Throw it to him a couple of those times and the scores go up. And I think that Eli, the offensive coordinator, and everybody's going to go back and look at that, and they're going to take an accounting for, okay, they're not even able to stop him with somebody over the top. So we're going to have to get the ball to him. So everybody else is going to be the benefactor of what Odell's doing. I don't think they can double him. If they double him, Cruz and Shepard's going to eat him up. They can't double both outside guys. Shepard's going to eat him up. And then let's not forget Will Ty and Larry Donnell. Everybody's kind of open. So, you know, yeah, I think Beckham's going to get a lot more balls because he is really, you know, he ate Josh Norman's lunch. He took his lunch money.
He specifically, when Norman was on him, he caught six passes for over 100 yards.
He could have done way more than that.
He could have.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
He is showing. At first, I kind of thought that maybe because these other receivers, his production was going to fall down a little bit. Now I'm watching him. I'm like, no, dude, he's still that dynamic that you need to look for him.
He's special.
Yeah.
Steven in Jersey City, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Hi.
Very good.
I have two quick questions. The first one is, with some of our running backs and even our DBs, you know, not being on the starting 53, which group of guys do you project that are going to replace them on the final roster for this upcoming game?
Well, I think you're talking about who's going to be active on Sunday.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Right now, if the Giants are forced to be in a position where DRC and Apple cannot mm-hmm. go, you'd have to think Michael Hunter is going to be activated.
Okay.
You'd have to think that, you know, Adams is probably going to be up. I think Leon Hall, obviously, is going to be pressed into starting duty in the nickel. You'll see a lot of Trevin Wade, who has already been active for the first couple of games anyway. I mean, those are the guys that are going to have to play. I mean, there's nobody else. There's no Mark Collins or Perry Williams sitting around, you know, in the back of the facility.
Once you put your team together, you're forced into a position where, believe it or not, next man up is what it is because you kind of already established your team.
Okay.
So and running back-wise, you're looking at Darkwell probably getting more carries. And Bobby Ranney's also going to be worked into this offense. Coach said during the week Paul Perkins is ready. But I think, Howard, you and I both know he's missed so much time. He is so far behind in the offseason, even though he's trying to catch up. And Coach seems optimistic about it. Look, if he's in that backfield, he's got to know the plays. And especially he's got to make sure he knows pass pro. Because with this Vikings defensive line and the pressure they provide, if he makes a mistake picking up somebody, Eli's on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to get hurt.
And he's going to fumble and give the ball up. Yeah, but the pass protection is the biggest thing for a running back. You can be talented running the ball, but you really need to be in tune with your pass protection. Last week I thought Darkwa would get a majority of the carries. They didn't kind of do that. And when he was in, he was extremely productive.
He did a good job.
So hopefully they're looking at that and they're going to say, okay, let's give him some burn.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to line two, by the way, before we do. 201-939-4513 is our number here. Robin in Atlanta, you're next on the show.
Atlanta.
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Hi.
Very good.
I wanted to ask you guys about the Redskins game.
Go ahead.
When Breland had went down and I think Hall had went down, how come we didn't, you know, attack those positions? Like, you know, we usually, you know, when you go into a game, you kind of game plan to the personnel that's going to be there. But if personnel, you know, if they happen to lose personnel doing throughout the game, you got to kind of go, you know, switch up the game plan and, you know, and try to attack the opposing defense that way.
Well, here, two things that I know people always say that because it looks easy, and a lot of teams look like they're doing it. If you're having total control of your protection, you can gear yourself to try to, like, all right, we're going to just go after this one guy. If you go after him more than twice, the defense just starts to bait you into going after him. In the case of, like, a few weeks ago, Antonio Brown going after the guy, he was just outrunning him. That was all that was. They're going after him. It's just like I'm going to outrun him. You throw it deep, I'll go get it. So it's not always what you think of going after a guy in the aspect of we're going to go after him in the short range. A lot of the passes are, if you notice, there are not a lot of deep passes that keeps Eli upright. So when there's not a lot of deep passes, the way to protect a guy is like as when you're throwing an out or you're throwing a quick slant or you're throwing anything, it's just drop the defensive end. Drop him right into the throwing lane. And that's an interception. You don't always see that happening but that happens a lot. The safety over the top, he's there, but he's not there in time to stop that play from happening. You drop one of those linemen right into that throwing lane, it becomes an issue. And they, if you start looking at one side or one guy the whole time, they just start plotting for it. They let the linebacker slide over to fall into their throwing lane. They do a lot of things for it.
I might also add the Giants did throw at a Redskin safety early in the fourth quarter in the end zone, and Will Tye didn't finish his route and break up the play, and it was an interception.
Everybody who says that is they don't know enough about football, and I don't want to be mean to you. The rules of football is this. When you're running a route, if a guy hits you and he stops your – impedes your progress.
You're telling me it should be a penalty.
It's a pass interference play.
That's what Will Tye wanted, and but he's got to finish the play.
If Will Tye runs over him and knocks him down, it's a flag on Will Tye.
They're
going
to call him on fire offensive interference.
So
I agree with you.
He's in a bad spot. So the entire Giants nation is like, Will Tye's got to – he's got to finish that play. I'm like, the guy hits him and knocks him backwards. If he runs over him, which – everybody wants
he and I are never going to agree on this one, but it's okay. He's a tight end.
I'm like, the official has to make the call. So it's either if you don't make the call, Will Tye's wrong. If you do make the call, Will Tye did a great job.
Did you ever turn into a defensive back, though, and prevent the defensive player or the from making the pick?
Back in my day, no offense, they could do that to you.
and one other thing, I think this coming game with Minnesota, I think we need to try and get the ball to Victor Cruz and Odell and Shepard, a lot more than what we had.
I think
the last game, Victor Cruz only had three balls thrown to him, and he caught all three.
Robert, I'm gonna let you go, but I want to ask Howard a question, building off of your comment. Mm-hmm. How many times do you think Eli should throw the ball in this game for the Giants to be effective?
I think that unfortunately the way their defensive line is constructed, I think the pass is going to be like a run. I think it's going to be a lot of slants, a lot of quick hitters, a lot of like little dinks and dunks, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to be forced to try to tip balls coming out quick. I think when they start to run and when it's not a 8-man front or whatever they're doing trying to stop the run, then they're going to be able to run the ball against them. I think if you go into the game saying we're going to run it, oh, we can't run it. Now
that's bad.
Now we have to throw it. I think that's bad. I think you have to either you got a great running game and it sets up your passing game, or you got a really good passing game and it allows you to have a great running game.
And if you're going to run out of the spread, which the Giants did a lot with Vereen earlier in the year, you better have the quicks to do it.
Yes and no. I think, again, running out of spread, it's pretty cool, but we don't have, and really no team has, five guys that just flat out dominate every play.
Yeah.
One guy.
It's hard.
One guy comes free, plays over.
Yeah, that's true.
And you got, and you don't know when that guy's coming free. Sometimes guys make mistakes, and when a guy makes a mistake, like a defensive lineman makes a mistake, all right, you think you've killed him. But the mistake he makes sends him into the backfield.
Yeah.
And, like, a mistake can be a great play or defeat, something bad.
Well, Howard, you know as well as I do, sometimes there's a play that's designed where blocker gets this guy, blocker gets that guy, and the running back has one defender who he knows he's going to be matched up against, and he's got to beat that defender. He's got to make him miss. He's got to be able to make the play, because they'll tell you, guess what? There's not enough blockers to take all these defenders. It's going to be up to you to beat that one guy who's going to have a shot at
you. That guy's supposed to be on the outside. It's supposed to be a small
guy. That's true.
It's not supposed to be a guy.
That's why you need quicks.
Yeah, if you run between the tackle and that guy's in the hole, you're not making that guy miss.
Meggett was able to do that.
One more time. If you run between the tackle and that guy's in the hole, you're not going to be able to do that.
Okay, Matt, you're next on the show. Hello. Hi,
hey,
Matt.
Guys, how are you doing?
Very good.
Good, good. Hey, listen, I think, Howard, what you just said about the Giants using those short intermediate passes is going to be key, because if you look at Mike Zimmer's defenses and what defenses have been doing all year, the Giants, they've taken away over the top. They don't want Odell Beckham to beat them deep. They don't want Cruz or Shepard to beat them deep. So I think that's key. The point that I wanted to bring up to you guys is, you look at this Vikings team and they're pretty complete. They're pretty complete, but I think one of the biggest weaknesses is their offensive line. Obviously, it was a problem for them last year as well. And Alex Boone was a big addition for them, but he's hurt now. He won't be in the game for them. And I think
remember Khalil is out too from a few weeks ago, the left tackle.
Right.
TJ Cummings is in there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. TJ Cummings,
who's a second-year player out of Pittsburgh, a New Jersey kid, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think he was originally at right tackle for them and then went over. I guess when they cut Phil Lohold, I guess they had him there,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that's going to be their biggest weakness, and I think would be the Giants' biggest strength, of course, on defense is their defensive line. And I think a caller, two callers ago, even said this is a defensive line game, and it really is. And I think, you know, to make up for the beat up secondary, Spagnuolo is going to have some exotic blitz packages. I think you may see Leon Hall a little bit more free safety this game. And I think to switch things up and try to confuse that offensive line because they aren't the greatest in the world. And if you're going to exploit this Vikings team as a whole, I think that's how you guys have to do it. That's really all I had to say on my call. And then one last thing real quick. I know the Raiders cut him the other day. He suspended for the first three games. Marcel Reese. Just
the fullback.
Throw it out there, very similar to Will Johnson, but just throwing it out there. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on everything. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, that fullback has one more week left on his suspension, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or is he done? I think he had one game last year and then three this year, so he might be eligible. I'm not quite 100% sure.
Do we have a fullback now?
Right now we do not.
Well, we're not going to go and sign one.
I'm not suggesting we do. I'm just trying to make clear to the caller as to his availability.
I know. So
I think he might be done with his four now because I think it was one last year and three this year he lost. Yeah. But, okay, go ahead.
And then the other thing is, like, the thing is going to be pretty simple. Can you execute it is going to be the question. You have to keep him behind the chains. An offensive line that can't protect or be able to at least get in the way of the run, the run's got to be zero and minus yards, a lot of them. Put them in second and long. Take play action out of the game. Mm-hmm. When you put them in second and long, he has to hold the ball longer. If you get them to third and long, they're going to be punting. That's the game plan. Keep them behind the chains in the first two downs.
One thing about the Giants pass rush, Howard, and I think it's fair to say, you know, they've done a pretty good job, but it's been sporadic. You know, it's been sporadic. There have been times where they haven't gotten there, and it's hurt them.
Well, we'll go over the games that I'm thinking of. Dak Prescott, you're not just going to sack him. You got one of the best offensive lines in the game, and you're throwing the ball to the tight end. You're never throwing the ball more than 4 yards.
Sure.
It's hard to sack a guy in those circumstances. The second game was against
Saints.
The Saints and Breeze. Again, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and they got to him a few times. They did.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not something you can depend on the entire game. As far as the game against Washington, I think they got to him what, once or twice.
Two sacks and seven quarterback hits.
Okay, so you know to let people know that are watching games, that's a good game by your D line. You don't realize it, but if you get two or three sacks a game, then you start to have a great year. If you have like six sacks or eight sacks, you had a stellar game. There are a few times you get going to get more than five sacks in a game. And that, I think fans believe that you're like if JPP or Vernon gets one sack a game for a whole season,
that's 16 sacks. Well, as a team, Howard, if you look at the last 10 years as a mm-hmm. team, if you can collect about 45 sacks on the season as
yeah.
a team, you're going to be in the top 10 of the NFL,
yeah, that's two
and
or
you'll
three.
And you will be. A playoff contender, which yeah. is 2.5 sacks
yeah.
a game.
So that's not a lot.
So two sacks and seven quarterback hits, that's not bad. You'd like to get more if you can, but it's not bad.
Yeah, but I said again, I think that the misnomer on the quarterback sack is that, hey, look, it's an exciting play. It's great, but it's one play in a series. If a team plays 60 plays against you and you get one sack, you know, hopefully you got it in a big moment in the game so it changes. But if you get it like in the first quarter, and the first down, you
yeah,
get sacked, no one really, like, it may not matter.
But here's where it would really help the Giants a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks, including the coaches, are wondering where the takeaways are, and they're not getting a lot. You can often get a takeaway off of a sack because you get that strip sack. That's a big part of the game that the Giants haven't been able to come up with.
I think that's great, but you're looking at Von Miller. Von Miller's a strip sack guy in the league.
Well, JPP was the other day at the end of the first half against the Redskins. He had that strip sack.
He got a strip sack. But Von Miller
– And that stopped scoring.
I know, but Von Miller does it repeatedly. And when you see
OC used to do it all
yeah,
the time.
And when you see a player that does it repeatedly, that's just specifically a speed guy, you kind of think, well, why aren't our guys doing that? Like,
well,
if every team had a Von Miller, it'd be great. But we don't have a Von Miller.
Yeah, but the Giants would like to believe that JPP and Vernon are elite pass rushers who are capable of at least doing that sometimes. To this point, it's not really happening.
That's not even realistic. Von Miller is Von Miller. It's like just saying,
I got you.
It's just like saying that everybody's J.J. Watt. It doesn't happen. You play with what you got. You learn to work within your team. We got guys who hit quarterbacks.
Reality is reality.
You know, it's a difference. We got guys who hit quarterbacks. Yeah. Their entire goal is to hit the quarterback.
If you hit him hard enough, the ball pops free.
They're, you know, you're hoping
he's
that guy,
giving me a hard time today,
they're,
folks.
They're hoping that a guy is going to go by and just swat at him.
I'm not talking about swatting it. I'm talking about popping him so that ball comes out.
Yeah, but you got to hit him. You got to hit him a lot. And we're not getting the quarterback hits, though. I'm just looking at it from the way
seven
that I look
quarterback
at.
Hits last week.
Well,
only one forced fumble.
Hey, I don't mean any harm. If you're a good team, you don't turn the ball over.
I hear you. Let's go back. Oh, I'm sorry. We got another poll question I got to get to here. Who will throw more touchdown passes, Eli Manning or Sam Bradford? Guess what? The Giants app poll says Eli Manning, 71%.
Yeah, Sam Bradford's not going to throw a lot of touchdowns. They're going to be getting hit a lot.
I'm so surprised by the results on this poll every show. What can I tell you?
It's a Giants show, so it's really funny.
If it were Vikings hotline, Bradford might win.
Man, somebody should call the Vikings, tell them to vote quick.
201-939-4513.
Who came up with that segment?
What do you want me to do? This is That's what they terrible. Tell us to do.
Don't do
Adam, you're from Ohio, and you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Good to talk to you, sir.
Can you hear me?
We can. Your phone's a little fuzzy, but please go ahead.
No, it means your radio's turned up in the background or your TV or anything. It's turned down a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that.
There you go.
A couple points for you. You know, I'm an average fan. I don't have the, you know, high-level football knowledge, so my opinion's probably as lay as the next person's. But, you know, watching a lot of Giants.com and different analyses from, I think one might have been from Phil Sims or somebody, there were a number of plays. I think one was on Vereen's touchdown run. The other was on Sterling Shepard's, I think that's a seam route, where they noted that because the safety was cheating over to Odell Beckham or on the run, a linebacker cheating over to take away the slant is what kind of opened up the play. And my thought is, it's not like Odell Beckham can score a touchdown that's worth 10 points. So if his production is leading to touchdowns, to me, I don't really care who gets in the end zone as long as we get the points. And if that's a byproduct of the attention given to Beckham, then so be it. But I don't think him lacking touchdowns in and of itself is as big a problem when he's still producing and forcing attention.
Howard?
I think that, you know, I've tried to say a few times that with Cruz being healthy, with Shepard playing and the two tight ends in the game, Odell's still going to get his touches. He's going to get a lot of touches, but there's a lot of places you can throw the ball. So you can double him, you can triple him, you can run over there and try to hold him on the sideline. There'll be a lot more guys that can catch the ball. So I think it's you know, pundits like to say he hasn't gotten a touchdown, but the reality of it is it doesn't matter if he's gotten a touchdown as long as they keep scoring.
I will tell you, caller, the one thing I'm interested in seeing now, Adam, is how many passes go to whoever takes Shane Vereen's snaps? Because we know they do like to get Vereen the ball.
I think Bobby Rainey's going to have to get
the ball. Does Rainey get the same amount of touches Vereen did, or do they spread him around? How much does Rainey become that guy?
It's going to be interesting because
is Rainey then, of the remaining running backs, is Rainey the go-to to be the receiving tailback instead of Orleans Darkwell?
Rainey is a small guy. So, like, basically, when you have a spread offense and you need that guy that's supposed to be the quick guy, whatever, but that guy's got to be like the Darren Sproles kind of guy, got to be good in the backfield in the sense of being able to protect the quarterback. When the quarterback's standing there, tap him on the hip, look out, he's over here, change your protections, be able to work with your quarterback in conjunction back there. When you're in space, Rainey's probably even more dangerous than Vereen. And, you know, the big thing with Rainey is, oh, can he hold on to the ball? That's more in his return game than it is in his – a running back game. The running back thing hasn't really gotten a shot because he's been that second or third small guy, and he's been usually been a returner no matter where he's been. Now he's going to get a chance to be in the game. If he can pick up the blitz, right, and they give him opportunities catching the ball or running the ball, you're going to see a kid that can actually make some plays.
Two things. He is elusive. He's got quicks. and he also does catch the ball very well. Howard's got a great point about his fumbleitis. The trouble has been after he's had the ball, especially on kick returns.
It's a return.
He can catch it.
Yeah, but it's not as much of a back thing.
Right.
It's a return thing. And God bless him, I wouldn't want to be back there catching the ball either.
No. No.
Let me ask you this, I've always enjoyed Orleans Darkwa running the ball. Going back to last year, I always wondered. It looked like he was productive. It looks like he gets yards. Why do they not give him more touches? When was the last time he fumbled? I can't recall ever seeing Orleans Darkwa fumble the ball.
He may have had a fumble.
I'm gonna check on that for you. How about that?
But I don't know. I don't have a system of how they rotate backs in. I don't have a system of why they rotate backs in or anything. I'm from a different era of football where I think if we get 5 yards on first down, we should run it at you again and get a first down. You know, I don't want to be mean to the receivers, but in my mind, if I can run it at you, it does so much to the defense. Running at a defense makes them tired, makes them exhausted, kind of breaks their sword a little bit. Throwing the ball scores touchdowns quicker. It's more exciting for the fans. But if you can run it, if I get 3 or 4 yards in that first down, you can almost bet I'm coming at you again the next down. And God forbid, I got a play that works every time. I'll be a Pop Warner coach. Well, we're going to run to the right every time.
If they're playing soft and only giving you 3 to 5 yards a clip per passing route anyway, just waiting for you to make a mistake, I would think continuous running would mitigate the chances of that mistake. Less exchanges, opportunity for interceptions.
Yes, it does, but it has to be effective running. The five-yard catch
right.
is 5 yards. The run, you got to run through the line or run by guys to get to the 5 yards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Darkwa, first couple of runs, I do remember kind of being shut down, and then it kind of picked up the pace. Like I've said to Paul in the past, it's the rhythm that he starts to see. Oh, this guy's going to get his block. That guy usually beats him to the inside. Even though the play's going here, I'm going to let him bait him to the inside. I'm going to go off his butt. But he has to see what the next guy's going to
do. Sure.
So once he starts to get the rhythm of it, it picks up. It's just that I don't, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I don't think he's been in enough a series to truly get a rhythm. Because if he starts running it, I'm telling you right now, even McAdoo, if he starts running it and gashing for 6, 7, 8 mm-hmm. yards a carry, he's going to get a lot of burn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just for your information, you asked me about Darkwa. If you're the jinx here, and if you make me jinx him, we're going to be really
don't
upset.
Don't say it. Let's go on. Move on.
All
don't
right.
worry about it. Don't worry.
But you haven't seen what you said before.
Don't,
you just haven't seen it.
Don't,
okay?
Don't, I don't
it hasn't
it,
happened. That's why.
Right.
We'll leave it right there.
I'll check back in next week, then.
You got it. Go ahead.
Hey, if it does happen this week, don't call.
See, Howard believes in the whammy, so we're not going to go there.
I don't believe in the whammy, but just don't do that. I hate that guy. Like, he hasn't missed a free throw in seven months.
All right. I think we have one call still left, and it would be Len from Maryland, of course. Hello, Len.
Yeah.
Did you have fun with yesterday's show? We did some reminiscing. Was that good for you or what?
Hadn't missed a free throw in 7 months, clank.
Yeah. Okay.
Never misses a putt under 3 feet.
Howard, the tie play down near the end zone there, it's probably been the most overanalyzed play of last week. But I'm going to give you my 2 cents on this.
Go ahead.
If you're a tight end and you're that close to the goal line, go get the ball. Mm-hmm. Get your hands out there. Get those arms. You come down with that ball. If I'm the tight end coach, that's what I'm telling Will Tye this week.
Gotcha.
Will, catch that ball. And listen, the Vikings are a good team, but we can beat this team. A couple of guys I just want to talk about. That tight end, Rudolph, he's really good, Paul.
Yeah?
He's really good.
Notre Dame kid.
Here's the key for me. Here's the key for me with Rudolph. If he catches 6 or more passes, Paul, I think we're in trouble. I think we got to limit him. I think he's the key guy. Olivia Vernon, I'm looking for a big game. Cummings is going to be a good football player. He's their left tackle of the future, but I don't want his career to start on Monday night.
I understand. By the way, Vernon's not working today.
I want Vernon to control that situation.
They're watching out for his sore hand, so he's not working today, just so you know that. And as far as Rudolph goes, to me, Howard, it's not if Rudolph catches six balls, but if five of those six go for a first down, that's a bigger problem for me than how many he catches.
I think
it's moving the chains.
I think he can move the chains all day long if he doesn't put it in the end zone.
Well, that's not bad either.
I don't care how many he catches. I think a lot of times people target guys and start thinking that these guys moving the chains and stuff. The way they've been playing the defense, if they can just tackle him after he catches the ball, right there you don't give any yards after catch. That's probably the most important
thing.
See,
now he and I are going to agree on that one 1,000% because last week there were too many missed tackles.
There were a lot of missed tackles, but like no yards after the catch. And the Will Tye thing, again, I know fans are crazy about it. If someone hits you blatantly and stops your 240 or 250 pounds as you're running, there should be flags in the air. But I can't depend on referees, and I know and I'm sorry for keep blaming referees, but there should be flags in the air. And everybody's beating on Will, and Will should have tried to pull the guy down or something. But if he hits you and stops you still, you're at the best, you're going to tip the ball away from him, which would the guy behind would have caught the ball. But that's how I look at it.
Okay. Hey, let me just one more player in the Vikings that I want to talk about. That second, I think he's second year, Paul. Defensive end, Hunter. He's a terrific pass rusher.
Yep.
A really terrific pass rusher. And hopefully we can, somehow control him. But, I see a guy on the Giants that's somewhat similar to him. Now, we're not going to see him play much at defensive end this year because we're paying our defensive ends $25 million. So I think we're going to see Pierre, Paul, and Vernon on the field the most. But, Romeo Ascara is just like this guy, Hunter. And I think down the line, Paul, he can turn into our Hunter. Hey, let's go, Giants. Let's win this game on Sunday night. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Thank you, Len.
Thank you.
Aquara made the big play on specials the other day, a block on the punt, which unfortunately came back because of a penalty. But, this guy's shown some flashes. That's why he made the team.
Yeah, but, I will caution fans to this. I like players that come up, come out of nowhere kind of thing and make the team, and they make plays. But the guys that you draft and the guys you pay the money
they need to make plays.
That's the guy you want to show up. I want you to be good when you get in. But you are getting paid, so go make your money.
Is it fair to say that Owau Digizua, through the first three games, has been rather quiet, and I know the Giants need more production out of him?
I didn't see him that much in college. I know everybody was in love with him when he came in, so I'm waiting for him to get to that next level. I don't know how he's going to get there unless he just, in his mind says, I'm going to do it. Or something like that, which you just can't really do. So you got to see. It's hard. I tell people this all the time. It's hard if you didn't come in with something special to all of a sudden develop something special when you're not able to practice, not able to work on your skill. There's got to be breaks during the week and all this stuff. It's hard to get to that next iteration of what you're doing when you're going to work out at what's his name's? Little MMA camp. That's awesome.
You're Jay Glazer.
You're in there kicking bags and everything. That ain't got nothing to do with a pass rush. I love all that stuff. I think all that stuff's great.
Oh.
But football is like every other sport. If I go out and play golf and I'm sitting right beside the green and rough and I got to chip it on and I hadn't practiced chip, either it's going to stay right there when I swing or I don't want anybody on the green because I don't know where it's going to stop when I hit it. You got to practice that stuff in order to be able to be good at it.
Anita's got to help coach you.
No, don't. Anita almost beat me one time. Well, she kind of did.
I know she could. Can't compete against her, that's for sure. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. This has been Big Blue Kickoff Live for Thursday. We are here every single weekday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. One of our staff members, two of our staff members, will be back tomorrow. I know it's not me. Is it Feagles and John, maybe?
You got me. I got called into the studio a second ago. So
yeah,
I
know.
You know, I don't know anything.
It's not us tomorrow, but you'll have an opportunity to argue your points and ask questions with other members of the Giants broadcast team. Again, Monday to Friday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 201-939-4513. If you want to write it down, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll see you again on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello, goodbye, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Boom.